The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar,
when Pontius Pilate was the governor of Judea, and Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius was tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, while he was in the desert. John went throughout the whole region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low. The winding roads shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of the Lord. The shopping season is already in full swing. I mean, people are spending huge amounts of money online and in visiting stores to select Christmas gifts. And the real effort is to get something that the pastor really likes, or somebody else really likes. But the real effort is to find something that the person would find personally meaningful. And that can be quite a search. Way back in my long tenure with Cardinal Manning, people would call me at Christmas. People of means now would call and say, "We want to get a special gift for the Cardinal." But of course, he had no use for any material things. He died almost a pauper. And I'd say, "Well, send him a spiritual gift. Send him a prayer." "Oh, no, no. I've got to buy something really nice for him." "Well, he'd like a spiritual gift." "No, no, I have got." "Okay. I'd like a cashmere sweater or something like that." And I said, "Okay." Now, the Cardinal gave away all his gifts, never kept any. So I'd say, "Okay, why don't we get a cashmere sweater medium, about blue or something?" And then they would give it, and he'd say, "I don't know, this fits you." And I'd say, "Well, it does actually fit me." But we spend a lot of time, you know, after gifts. And I'm going to tell you that in the year of mercy, we are invited by Pope Francis to give a gift which is priceless. The gift of reconciliation, priceless. The gift of healing, we'll talk about that today. This is, yellow ribbons are out there to welcome people, but open the doors of our hearts. Open the hardness. Soften the heart. That's, I'm going to shape the readings to invite us to consider this today by way of making this a season of gifts. While it is a gifting season, this is also a season where hurts become more obvious. Loneliness becomes more transparent. Division, somehow it becomes more emphasized this time of the year. And therefore the call of the year of mercy is to give a gift which is priceless. In some ways I've considered Pope Francis a pope that has given me many gifts. He's given me kindness and understanding and patience. He has honored humanity. He has embraced people in their hardest times. He has blessed the simplicity of people He has understood my humanity. Priceless gift. Instead of a rigorous, judgmental disposition, he has opened his heart to the world. That's a gift. I want to look at that gift today. So let me look at the readings very briefly here. That first reading is from the prophet Baruch, a minor prophet. You'll hear very little about him. And this book of the prophet Baruch is a very short book. It's got 6 chapters in it. And Baruch was actually the scribe for the great prophet Jeremiah. And this is shaped somewhere back there. It's directed toward the Jewish people during their exile. In the 6th century B.C., when they were exiled in Babylon, and he's saying, be confident, God is with you. God will bring you home. The temple will be restored, and your life will be put back in order. Believe in the presence of God in your life, and the presence of God in your life will lead you back to a place you did not think was possible, to a place of grace, a place of harmony. The gospel reading, which comes from Luke, has a parallel. All 4 gospels have this announcement of the coming of the Lord and the essential statement of the proclamation of Jesus is what they call repentance. Not a good translation. We call it metanoia. The coming together of 2 Greek words. Meta means beyond or around. It's kind of a loose word. Noein, N-O-E-I-N, is a Greek word that means to think. We have an English word, noetic, coming from that, which refers to something about the intellect. And nous means the mind. And literally what this means, Raymond Brown has a very good commentary on this. He says it literally means change your mind. Change your opinion. Change your prejudice. Change the withholding of forgiveness. Change your mind. Now, a lot of people will change their behavior, and they'll be nice at Christmas, but I won't change my mind about that. I have an opinion about this person or about that situation. I won't change my mind. But the call of the gospel, let the mountains be brought down and made flat. Let the valleys be filled in. Let the crooked roads be made straight. Watch the graphic language. Let the rough roads be made smooth. Seek harmony. That's the coming of Jesus Christ. That's what this year of mercy really means. Now, I am one of you. I have offended people. I've hurt people in my life. People have hurt me in my life. We've all carried stuff. But when we come to this time of reconciliation, it's an invitation of the Spirit proclaimed in the year of mercy. Put aside the hard heart of judgment. The coldness. Now, most of our sins. Now, we're not robbing banks. We're not really the major stuff. But we are this stuff which shapes us, shapes our closest relationships. And sometimes the place we need most reconciliation is with the people that are closest to us. Why? Because they are the ones that see our true selves. Out and about, we have this mask, and we're all beautiful, wonderful Monsignor, and oh, a very holy man. But there's an inner person here. There's a real person here. And this year of mercy speaks to the real person. How many of our relationships are functionally cold? They're functioning. A functional coldness that could be transformed by a kind word or a gentle embrace. It could change your life. It could change your closest relationships. a gift money can't buy. I know about hurts. I meet people with hurts. I understand it because I have carried the hurts myself. Consider it. Is it my selfishness that I need to change? Is it my demand? Am I too demanding? Am I too controlling? Must I have my way? Worse still, we don't talk about it. We just function. And when we don't talk about it, it hurts even more. Because now we enter into a condition of apparent indifference. We'll just function. We'll just keep going the way we are. Even though I can see it's cold, it's empty, it's impoverished. There's something missing. The heart. The heart is missing. The year of mercy is somehow wanting. Happened in the church. We as a living church, many people are wounded by the unguarded word or the moment of oversight or a moment of selfishness or judgment. Or who do we separate? Look at your families. From whom are you divided? Who is outside? In the year of mercy, in this season of gift, coming together and caring and love, we are so generous. We give the turkeys, we'll take care of the poor, we'll take care of all those people. But what happens inside? That's a year of mercy. Let the pride of the mountains be brought down. Let the valleys of darkness and shadows be filled in. Let the crooked ways of selfishness or deceit made straight. And the rough times where we disputed and we argued, let these be made flat and even and harmonious. That's the invitation. You neglect this. The year of mercy doesn't mean anything. That's the call of the Spirit today. And unless the Word of God comes to life in us, it's just a distant Word of God. And we believe that God's Word is alive. And that God's Word is alive in us today. The power of Jesus Christ calls us. Open the doors. Open the doors. Generously call forth those who are not invited. How many people in our church of love and our church rooted in Jesus Christ are excluded from the table of life? We need forgiveness. We may have people here present with us now who are away from the church. Or you may have friends who are away from the church. And in the humanity of the church, they're hurt, offended. They've been somehow excluded. There's a subtle way of being violent. I've always considered that in my life. You know, there are all sorts of violence, expressions, but the subtle way to ignore somebody, not to listen, to put somebody down, to devalue someone, to give somebody the impression that their opinion is not important, what they have to say doesn't count. I don't care if you're young, you're old, or you're in between. We all belong to the same human condition. And that's what reconciliation means. It means to change my mind, take a second look, consider again what we're looking at, especially in our closest relationships. For heaven's sake, we will go out and we'll spend all sorts of money buying things. Things. We'll spend time buying more kids. We'll get gifts. Many, many, many gifts from the grandparents, from their cousins, from their parents. And 2 days after Christmas, they'll be playing with the boxes in which the gifts came. I've done it myself. When my two nieces were little babies, I would buy them all sorts of gifts, and I'd just absolutely hemorrhage the gifts on top of them. And where's the next gift? This very expensive gift. Oh, no. Where's the next one? Give me the next one. These are all passing things. One hug, one kind word, one forgiveness. Priceless. Priceless. That's the invitation of our prayer today, the prayer of reconciliation. So I want you to belong to this. I want this to have meaning for you. So I'd like to pray with you and ask you to pray with me a litany of forgiveness. You got these cards when you were coming into the church. Everybody got one of these cards. We're going to pray the litany first, and then I'm going to ask you to look at this card. So please stand and we'll pray now. Okay. I'm in great mood today. No problem. Nothing is a problem today because I have reflected on this myself. My dear brothers and sisters, in this time of prayer, let us acknowledge our sins. Sins do not have anything to do with laws. Sins have to do with relationship. Sins have to do with selfishness, neglect. Sins have to do with holding forgiveness, diminishing another person. These are the sins. You can keep all the laws, but to reform ourselves from a sinful condition, that's different. So, my brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins as we prepare to celebrate this time of reconciliation. And we'd ask you to respond to each invocation with, Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For the times I failed to do good and have not listened with an open heart, Jesus, you forgave many sins, the sins of the woman who showed you great love. Who have I judged? Who have I excluded?
Lord, have mercy.
For the times I held back my charity, my love, and have not shared the forgiveness which I have received.
Lord, have mercy.
You did not condemn any of the sinners you met. You broke bread with them. Your mercy and peace was your gift to them. When have I been jealous petty or judgmental.
Lord, have mercy.
For the times I fail to forgive, especially the ones who are close to me, and in my selfishness withheld a good word or a compliment of affirmation.
Lord, have mercy.
You carried the lost sheep back to the fold. May I follow your example.
Lord, have mercy.
For the times I have used my power over another and did not treat the other as a brother or sister in Christ, I have been demanding or controlling.
Lord, have mercy.
You did not shun the company of outcasts and sinners. Let me follow your example.
Lord,
for the times I allowed my anger to turn to hate.
Lord, have mercy.
You call me to change my mind, my opinion. In my certainty, I have rejected the opinion of others.
Lord,
for the times I was unfair with another, in my weakness, I have divided my family. I have mistaken tolerance for acceptance.
Lord, have mercy.
At your crucifixion, you promised paradise to the repentant thief, though he did not have to confess.
Lord, have mercy.
May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray now. God of power and mercy, open our hearts and welcome. Remove the things that hinder us from receiving Christ with joy. May we follow you and grasp your hand and walk more readily in your ways. May the mercy you show to us give us the strength to do likewise to all whom we meet. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated now. And I'm going to take one brief moment to ask you to take this card. Rituals are very important. You know, the ritual of all our rituals in our church are very important. A ritual carries the experience. I want you to pause for a moment with me. And in this card, write a designation, a letter, an X, whatever, that will represent somebody that you are going to bless with a good word, somebody you're going to forgive for any hurts you carried. And later on in our prayer, we'll ask you to bring this card with you and to place it up here in the sanctuary area in one of these receptacles. If you choose to keep it, you can keep it and take it home with you, but allow it to become real now. Allow the ritual to touch you. Allow yourself to experience this by doing this ritual of writing a designation. If you put it here, it will be a gift you give to the Lord, a gift you will share with others. So please take a moment. Take a moment. And in the personal silence of your heart, just write an X or a letter or something to designate the person with whom you wish to be reconciled, the one you have neglected. And when we come to the sign of peace, keep in mind that the person closest to you in the pews may be the one who needs the kind word, the act of love, the moment of gentleness as we share the sign of peace. Keep that in mind when we come to the sign of peace. Let the church, the living church, come to life.